Tirol, Österreich. Ein Land, in dem seit Ende des Zweiten Weltkrieges der Frieden währt. Doch wie lange hält dieser Frieden? Was ist Frieden? Nur die Abwesenheit von Krieg? Nur die Ruhe zwischen den Stürmen? Die Vorstellungen über diese Fragen sind so unterschiedlich wie die Länder und Kulturen, aus denen all die Menschen kommen. Das 21. Jahrhundert, in dem wir uns befinden, ist noch immer eine Zeit, in der Krieg in manchen Regionen der Erde bittere Realität ist. Für mich ist die Frage immer wichtiger geworden, welche Möglichkeiten es gibt, sich für Frieden einzusetzen. In meiner Tiroler Heimat habe ich etwas gefunden. Hier gibt es seit einem Jahrzehnt ein internationales Masterprogramm, das in seiner Form einzigartig ist und in dem es intensiv um Friedensarbeit geht. Dieser Film begleitet Studentinnen und Studenten auf ihrem Weg, wie sie Frieden erfahren und in sich selbst finden.
I was born in the Tyrolean Upper Inn Valley, in the west of Tirol, which is a quite rural region, as a son of a refugee who came after the Second World War to Austria. And growing up in this environment, the question of belonging was very important for me from the early years in my childhood. So how do groups integrate, how are communities made? How do people communicate with each other? How do they build, construct tradition, rituals of belonging? All of these were very important questions for me from my early childhood on. And when I became a student, this was in the center of my interest and brought me pretty soon to travel around the world and to study how different ethnopolitical groups are dealing with this question. So I studied these things basically in Central America, in Latin America in general, but then later on also in different parts of Africa, of Southeast Asia, in India, and many further places. And this interest brought me soon into the field of what was called development cooperation at that time, third world cooperation. It involved me in human rights fieldwork, in questions of international law, and brought me close to state-run international organizations and, of course, into the field of the non-governmental organizations. And I worked for some decades for these sort of organizations, various of them, and always mixed these practical experiences and work with academic work, with teaching at universities and, well, doing academic research in different ways. And on this way, I discovered that an academic discipline called Peace Studies exists. And this field combines a lot of these fields of interest that I have mentioned. Then, in the transcurse of the years, I found this already perfectly developed approach of Jean-Paul Lederach concerning elicitative conflict transformation. And the main challenge for me and for the group of people who worked with me was then What can we do concretely in didactical regard, transfer that into academic education? And this is what we did, and so we started to write this curriculum, this particular curriculum of the Innsbruck School, which then became, I think, quite well known under the title Transrational Peace Philosophy and Elicitive Conflict Transformation as the Applied Method of Transrationality. Well, idealistically spoken, the idea of one global world peace is a wonderful dream. But if you have a closer look, you see that this dream is a nightmare. Why? Because in order to be able to speak reasonably about peace, we need first of all a perceiving subject. The idea of peace doesn't make any sense if there is not a human being who perceives peace and feels peace and understands peace. And having said that, it becomes quite obvious that if there are many human beings, and currently we have between 7 and 8 billion human beings on this planet, it is very obvious that they have different interpretations and different perceptions and different emotional perceptions of peace. So if we take away this individual perception from them and dictate a normative concept of the one global peace, we will end up in a quite intellectually violent definition and deprive the majority of the people in the world from their understanding of peace. And if we agree on that, we will see in the next step, when we go into a closer study of the different cultures who exist in the reality of this planet, that they communicate in very different ways, which is they perceive and say and hear peace in very different ways. So again, the same observation: if we tell them that they are wrong, we do something which is in itself already violent and cannot be peaceful. This observation about the plurality of pieces, of the many pieces, which is a grammatical strange word in English, but still it hits the point of what we want to express. So this idea of the many pieces has been described in volume 1 of our mini-series titled Interpretations of Peace in History and Culture. And the content of this book is basically the observation that the plurality of the many pieces can still be structured in 5 major families, which are the energetic, the moral, the modern, the postmodern, and the transrational interpretation of peace.
Well, of course, if we go into the history of the pieces, so to speak, then we do find quite a lot of variations, and we do find quite a lot of changes over time. So what history, what peace means, for example, in Austria, or in a given language, or in a given culture, is never static, but changes over time.
Each of these pieces, if you want, has a specific cultural framework, a specific history, and even though we can find them, all of them, throughout the world and in all continents at all times. So what we try to do is give the conceptual understanding of those different notions of peace, again, precisely with the aim of recovering that plurality.
There are as many pieces as there are lived contexts. There are as many pieces as there are, for example, cultures, languages, religions, forms of spirituality. So there is not one singular overarching standard of peace, but peace is always a lived multiplicity, if you want. Yeah. So it is, of course, more than just the absence of war. It is more than just the absence of violence. It is more than just the attempt, all those attempts to define peace out of the negative, out of something that is lacking, something that is not. But much to the contrary, peace has its own positive content.
This program in peace, conflict, and now peace, development, security, and international conflict transformation is basically a program in which students from all over the world come to Innsbruck to learn about different understandings of peace and also to actually work on themselves as peace workers.
Our approach is a holistic one, a person-centered one, i.e. for us, peace and conflict work always is something that a human being does as full human being. And if I later on want to work in such a field, I first of all need to be able to understand myself.
What that means is that we don't only talk about transforming conflicts of others or that we see outside in the world, but that process starts with oneself. And that implies that the first thing that we do with this program is to try to combine both that theoretical engagement with peace and conflict around the world with peace and conflict in oneself.
This here is the education center called Willhof. We are a part of the provincial government of Tyrol, and in this education center we offer a lot of seminars, workshops, and here is also the home base for peace studies. And the students like it because it's like a home base for all.
There was a political will to show that Tyrol is a place where conflict, as it was called at that time, conflict management, has been done successfully. So the initiative started from the government of Tyrol and then proposed to the university, where it, as always in academic fields, provoked certain disputes and discussions before the social science department agreed to create this program in the frame of the University of Innsbruck. And we started in a very humble way the first pilot semester of this program here, and then from 2004 onwards we had it as a regular program running more or less in the way as it is until now.
My name is Vlad Toma. I was born in Romania in 1988. I lived there for 4 years before moving to France.
My name is Julia Metzger-Traber, and I'm from the United States.
My name is Felicia. I'm Brazilian. I'm 21 years old, and I think I'm the youngest in this program.
I've been based in Berlin, but I've done projects in Italy and across the U.S., as well as in India and Vietnam.
I've moved back and forth between Canada and Europe quite a bit. And I went to summer camps in Romania, in Croatia.
I graduated in history, and I always felt very connected to the issue of Palestine and the whole thing that's going on there for quite a long time now.
Whereas before I would have thought that peace is kind of this static notion, a static societal circumstance, I think that now peace is much more relational.
I think peace is an acceptance and a promotion of multiple energies existing in the same time, of multiple perspectives existing, and not having to define maybe that one is right or wrong.
Thinking about peace, I think, leads us to a very deep search of what it means for me and what it means for the people around me. And I think that leads us to the idea that we are dealing with pieces. And I think that's also an approach that this program brings.
For me, what's special about this program in peace studies here in Innsbruck is it's unlike any other program I found. I was looking all around the world for programs in peace studies.
Wolfgang said, you know, the point of this program basically is to learn to live in the moment, to find the limits of your personality, and to try and disengage from routine. So I thought, man, it seems like we're going to be learning superpowers. We're going to be gaining superpowers from this program. So to me, that was definitely, you know, a difference than compared to most other academic programs.
So what we do here on the one hand is we obviously, since we are an academic program, we teach theoretically what those five families of pieces are and how they are defined in different cultural, linguistic, social, political, religious contexts. So this is one side of what we do here in Innsbruck, and at the same time we obviously also want people to experience those pieces and to experience the conflicts that go hand in hand, to go together with that.
So it's not just about this theoretical engagement. What we do is combine the theoretical engagement with practical conflict work.
Every semester in this program is structured the same way. It begins first with a 3-month online seminar where the students are prepared for the practical experiences that they will have later. And when this has happened, we go for the first time into the field, which is usually a 2-week field experience, beginning with a stop at the Red Cross.
The Austrian Red Cross has been cooperating with the Peace Studies for many years now. So what we are doing here is basically providing a crash course in first aid and also advanced first aid to not only provide the basic context of how to stop a strong bleeding, how to do CPR on a patient, but also how to maintain self-control, how to organize yourself in times of emergency, of course with a medical focus. So the students who are undergoing our part of the course are not only getting kind of a medical background, but they're also exposed to the idea of actually how the Red Cross works, for example. What are the Geneva Conventions? What happens if there's a major disaster worldwide, like an earthquake or a landslide or so, when there's like, you know, thousands of patients potentially? How is the infrastructure put in place, and how will people be able to survive with the help of this infrastructure? So they get a very broad perspective, which is kind of a unique thing. There's not another course I'm aware of in the Red Cross which is even getting close to this kind of context. So it's a broad thing, it's an adventurous thing, because we're exposing them to situations where they have to deal with violence, where they have to deal with fire, where they have to deal with really harsh situations and still maintain control for helping the patient.
Do in our training fields specific simulations. For example, we can simulate an earthquake and then show what the consequences, the immediate consequences on the victims are, how they can be treated, what are the to-dos and the no-goes.
He was shot,
okay.
Yes.
From whom?
We don't know yet.
Please, could you give us some time to treat him first? We are giving the first aid. We will give you every information when we are done, please.
Okay, guys. Yes. Guys, I will need you guys to please stand back a little bit.
Help me. The shooter is still here.
Hey, Yvonne. I need someone here. She passed out.
See, then, I think you have saved her life. What do you think?
Oh, no, please. It's not time. We're still in the mood. So please could...
Say your name again.
We're working out.
One person inside the building. Judy, please go with them as well, because they're complicated.
I have to take this person out.
What has happened?
We don't know yet exactly what has happened. So we just know that there are people injured, but we are taking care of them.
Are you okay?
Your light, do you have light?
One of the things I always love about working with a peace study student is their livelihood, this colorness they bring in by having people from so many places from the earth with different ethnicities, with different cultural backgrounds. And it really can be seen when we do the practical exercises, for example, that the way how they articulate their pain when they do the simulations, for example, how they scream, how they require their part of the assistance or so. This is so awesome, because it means that people are really bringing their hearts and minds, and this is adding another level of realism to these situations.
Here we're trying to save someone.
Yes.
So
if yes.
You're not
yes.
helping me,
Stella.
My
Stella. Stella, that's your name.
Stella.
Yes.
Is that your name?
Stella.
Ohne Staffel aktivieren. Ohne Staffel aktivieren. Ihr seid zufrieden.
Nowadays, we are arriving at a point where it's a very non-classical training out in the field, which is almost very similar to the pre-mission training we're giving our own people before we send them into the international conflict zones, for example. So it has been transformed from originally a little bit modified 16-hour classical standard course into something completely different. And the beauty of it was there was so much flexibility from the leadership of the peace studies program, from the other units, from the firefighters, from military people, for example, we're working with, that we were giving such an enormous amount of feedback that allowed a dramatic evolution of the program content, that we've been going a quite a long way from the first courses to where we stand now. And I think we are not perfect yet, yeah? But if I would be a peace studies, I think I this is one of the elements I would really have to do myself as well. Just standing on the wrong side.
From there, we continue to the Firefighters Academy, which is a wonderful training center in the west of Tyrol. And there we have all possibilities for, on the one hand, teaching students also how to deal with fires. We can show them the myth and the truth. again to the army, where again the students get some instructions that are crucial for field missions. For example, mine awareness, for example, checkpoints, interrogations, just simply reading military structures, understanding the difference between a general and a corporal. And when the students have understood these aspects, we are doing a simulation of a real field mission. That is, we go for some days on a simulated, for example, human rights observation mission, where our students play the civilian aspect in the frame of the UN.
Frieden muss man dorthin bringen, wo es Krisen gibt, und in einem Krisengebiet ist es nicht ungefährlich. Und so haben wir also unsere Aufgabe darin gesehen, die Leute vorzubereiten auf einen Einsatz in einem Krisengebiet. Ich nehme als Beispiel, wie geht man mit der Minengefahr um, wie geht man um, wenn man bei einem Checkpoint kontrolliert wird, wie unterscheidet man, ob das nationale Soldaten sind, ob das internationale Soldaten sind oder ob es Rebellen oder örtliche Warlords sind. Und das war unsere Intention, und dafür und dazu haben wir also ein Programm entwickelt, mit dem man also sehr viel Praxis vermitteln kann.
Hello,
hello.
Sir.
Hello.
I'm Augie, nice to meet you.
You are live here?
Yeah.
Schon lange.
Wie lange schon? How long?
Seit Generationen schon. Das Geschäft selber habe ich.
Wir üben gerade die Informationsaufbringung in einem Einsatzraum. Dazu haben wir die Unterstützung der lokalen Geschäftswelt, die im Rollenspiel mitspielt. Und unsere Studenten sind unterwegs, um hier im Gespräch eine Lageinformation zu verifizieren und die entsprechenden Grundlagen zu finden für die Fortführung ihrer humanitären Aufgabe.
Ja, passt.
You have some problems with the...
Yeah, the mayor of town and these guys, they try to change the situation.
These guys who just entered the shop?
Yeah.
So you have problems with them, or?
Sure. As you can see, the situation is not only for me in this... In these times like that, it's all around here.
And why do you still live here then?
Because my family grew up here, so why should I leave it?
Okay.
All my privacy, all my goods are here.
Wie kann man also Informationen sammeln, indem man mit der Bevölkerung spricht, indem man unterschiedliche ethnische Gruppen erkennt, indem man also schaut, dass man möglichst tatsächlich unparteiisch und neutral ist und versucht, verschiedene Informationen zu sammeln, um sie dann weiterzugeben.
Wir wollen einfach ein bisschen Überblick kriegen bei der Situation, was hier los ist, was hier vorgefallen ist. Können uns da helfen?
Kannst ja probieren, ein paar Fragen stellen.
Ja. Ja, Sie kommen von hier?
Ja, Oberländer.
Oberländer, okay. Und wir haben jetzt ein bisschen gehört, Konflikt mit Südländern. Könnt ihr uns ein bisschen was erzählen?
Wir können weg, es ist nicht mein Problem, was dort drin ist, sondern einfach verschwinden.
Die jetzt da oben, das sind Südländer?
Südländer, nein, die kommen zu mir, aber weiter auf, dann kommen schon die Südländer. Die brauchen gleich mal wieder weg.
Alles klar.
In der praktischen Übung bewegen wir uns einerseits im urbanen Raum, andererseits bewegen wir uns im Hochgebirge. Für beide Geländeteile oder für beide Populationsräume haben wir verschiedene Zugänge und verschiedene Ansätze, und die vermitteln wir.
Squad 4 has already done recon from this side, so they made the sketch. Yeah? So here is the road, where's this? This is here. Yes. I'm missing Yvonne and Ivan. Ivan, can you get here?
Wenn wir mit dem urbanen Raum abgeschlossen haben, das heißt, wenn also ausreichend Informationen vorhanden sind, dann kommt die Überlegung, auch in das Gelände, in den freien Raum hinauszugehen, um also einen Eindruck auch vor Ort sich von der Situation der Bevölkerung zu verschaffen. Hier in diesem Fall hat also die Befragung der verschiedenen ethnischen Gruppen im städtischen Raum ergeben, dass es notwendig wäre, rasch eine Lebensmittelhilfslieferung in den Raum zu bringen.
Ich
Jetzt ist also hier bei dem alten Regional Center die Kolonne eingeflossen und wird dann in dem Bereich hier die Aufstellung nehmen. Da teilen die Gruppenkommandanten ein, wo die Fahrzeuge und Gruppen und die Squads sozusagen Platz beziehen. Und danach wird die Austeilung der Güte in das Haus hinein erfolgen.
Es wurden also Lebensmittel in den Hochgebirgsraum gebracht, gegen verschiedene widrige Umstände, sei es das Wetter, hier überraschend der Nebel eingefallen, oder sei es also auch gegen Rebellen, die versuchen, sich widerrechtlich diese Güter anzueignen, wo man dann eben Schutzkräfte braucht, die also sicherstellen, dass das geordnet ablaufen kann.
This is now an experience that we have in cooperation with the Austrian army for a rather long time already, and it is very well developed and I think really a tailor-made concept for a program like ours.
Well, it was 32 years ago that I born in one Himalayan region of northeast of Pakistan, and I grown up there, I studied there, I worked there, I spent first big part of my life there. It's a very diverse culture, so much religious background, so much culture background. Like the area where I came from, like there are 3-4 different regional languages and mixture of so many different culture background. I think I'm a very spiritual person where I grown up. There is spirituality inside me. There is rationality inside me. There is a lot of cocktail inside me. And I went to engineering school, I became an engineer, and then there was a flip in my life. There was an earthquake in my country, and that's how I became a humanitarian worker. And then I started moving to different part of the world. I was in Middle East, Africa, and moving here and there, wherever there was natural disaster, war or conflict. And then suddenly there was again a flip in my life. I landed in this part of Innsbruck, you know. And here I thought that I will be here, I will be sitting in a very lovely classroom. There will be a nice chair, nice desk. There will be a professor with glasses, with tie, and it will be a very formal study. But they put us on the grass, you know. They put us on the floor, you know. Instead of giving us a book, they told us to go inside you, deeply inside you, and try to bring whatever you have inside. They told us to write everything. They told us to paint the passion, emotion, and our own story in the form of words, in the form of sentences, and they let us to create the whole different sort of academic writing. I was recently, in a couple of months ago, I was in South Sudan in one humanitarian mission, and I was in the middle of war zone. And it was first time in my life I was just sitting, and I went out from all the chaos situation. I sat down and I tried to breathe, you know. I tried to see what is inside me. And what I learned that what is inside us, we try to reflect in the conflict zone, you know. It create energy, it create everything, you know. It is a harmonization with every single aspect of the conflicted zone. And then, like, there was situation where all the rational analysis is saying that nothing is going to be happen, you are in safe zone, and keep working, keep moving. And then there was some bubbles, some inner voice came up, and it was saying, no, something is gonna happen, be ready, be prepared. And one of my situation update to my team, I told them, well, rationality is saying nothing is coming, but there is something is coming, be prepared. And then just after 1 week, we were under massive attack. So this was like to listen inside your inner voice, you know. Like, there is a lot inside us, and usually we don't listen. And when you come to Innsbruck, when you stay here, when you breathe here, when you try to meditate here, all the words, all the philosophy, all the spirituality, all the trainings, and all the crazies, good part. So you become a person, you like me. I went there and I start looking inside me very differently, and it affect, and that is very different here. That is what crazy here, that is what lovely here. It's like to touch like the grass, it's like just to touch the drops of tiny water on the grass and take, and that put this freshness inside you, and that's what changes you, you know. What is peace actually? If I have to see inside me, I have to see outside me, my surroundings, I have to just close my eyes, I have to articulate my heart, the waves, the connection, the collaboration, and one single wave on the lake, so cool, so relaxed, with the reflection of mountain, with the rays of sunshine, at the end what picture is embossing, that is peace for me. And like all different colors connected in terms of my inner understanding, my moral understanding, my transrational approach to understanding, that is the different kinds of pieces connected to that. It can be energetic, it can be moral translation altogether. I think that what is peace from my head and my heart. I am a conflict worker. Whenever I have to ask this question to myself, that why there is a conflict, what is a conflict, and coming back from different conflicted part of the world, Libya, Somalia, Yemen, whatever, and why it's happening, it's a good thing, it's a bad thing, but I have to go inside me. There are mornings I wake up, there is a conflict in my head, inside my body, and is it a good thing? It's a bad thing. It's very natural. It happened, you know. And we can't take a forceps and take the conflict out of that. It is there and it has to be there. And the main ideology is to go inside and tackle the conflict, meet the conflict, hug the case, hug the conflict, kiss the conflict, and try to work with the conflict, remain with the conflict. It's not something you can select, cut, and throw somewhere in the trash can. It has to be there, and you have to deal with the problem, you know. Problem is not a problem. Problem is how to deal with the problem. So same thing. Conflict is not a conflict. Conflict is how to deal with the conflict, you know. That's the whole ideology. I want to go to the war zone. I want to go to natural disaster area. And try to work as a humanitarian worker. Before I was a humanitarian worker from outside. This time I want to become a humanitarian and conflict worker from inside, you know. And that's my vision. The experience which came into me like this, I want to keep them. I want to shake hands with them, and I want to take a dance with all this experience, you know. And I don't know how will be that dance. How will be flowing that dance, how will be still that dance, but it will be something from my experiences. That is my vision, that is my future plan to go. Chalo alfaz ki rangat mein ro lene do, utho in galiyon mein mujhko rawan rehne do. चलो आंसुओं के पपोटों से बहकने दो, उठो अल्फाज के मतलब को दहलीज दिल में रहने दो. चलो वक्त के इशारों की जुबां बोलने दो, उठो दिल की लहरों को आसमां से मोहब्बत करने दो. चलो निगाह दिल को हजूरे खुदा जाने दो, उठो मेरे दिल को उसके दिल से मुनक्कसम होने दो. चलो अब सारी बातों को भूल जाने दो, उठो अब मंसूर को मंसूर हो जाने दो. नजर हाजर को नजर हाजर ही रहने दो, نظر کی کرنوں کو اپنے ہی دامن میں رہنے دو, ہاتھ کی انگلیوں کو ہتھیلیوں سے ہی جڑے رہنے دو, دل کے امٹتے وہموں کو دل میں ہی رکے رہنے دو, نظر بصیرت کو حدوں سے پار لے جا کر خدا کے حکم حضور روک دو, نظر بصیرت کو حدوں سے پار لے جا کر خدا کے حکم حضور روک دو, اب خدا کے لیے خودی کو خود اور خدا کو خدا رہنے دو.
Wir sind die Natur, Wildnis und Lebensschule Native Spirit. Wir lehren indigene Techniken und Fertigkeiten. Und wir haben das Glück, dass wir nun schon seit mehr als ein Jahrzehnt bei diesem wunderbaren Masterprogramm mitwirken können. Unsere Aufgabe liegt darin, mit den Studenten auf physischer, mentaler und spiritueller Ebene zu arbeiten. Wir verwenden verschiedene Techniken unterschiedlicher Kulturen, wie Schwitzhütten, schamanisches Wissen, energetische Arbeit. Und um einen Bereich herauszugreifen, vermitteln wir zum Beispiel auch das jahrtausendealte indigene Wissen über das Medizinrad. Wir nutzen dieses System und diese Landkarte als Wegweiser durch all die verschiedenen Energien, die existieren und die das Leben ausmachen.
And I got my answer, but it was not coming from the mind. The answer is coming from somewhere.
Just imagine. Das Medizinrad ist das Rad des Gleichgewichts. Es hilft uns zu erkennen, wo etwas nicht im Gleichgewicht ist, und es lehrt uns, die gesunde Balance wiederherzustellen. Alle Systeme, die außer Balance geraten, schaffen Disharmonie. Die Natur selbst ist immer bestrebt, Balance zu schaffen oder wiederherzustellen. Unsere eigene, innere Natur als Mensch sehnt sich ebenfalls nach diesem Zustand, der Frieden genannt wird.
Tell me, what do you want to do?
I want to run.
Tell me, what is meant by nature?
Humans.
Tell me, what is meant by humans?
Words.
Tell me.
Zuerst beginnen wir mit uns selbst. Zuerst arbeiten wir an unserem eigenen inneren Frieden. Dann können wir damit beginnen, die Welt da draußen zu berühren.
This place. Tell me, what is made by humans?
Inneren Frieden in mir selbst zu erleben, hilft mir dabei, mich auch im Außen zu beobachten, wo und wie und wann ich Unfrieden kreiere. So kann ich dann auch ein Gespür dafür entwickeln, wie ich Frieden im Außen kreieren und bewahren kann.
Wenn wir den Weg kennen, der zu dieser Mitte, Medi, zu dieser Medizin führt, dann können wir immer schneller und leichter diesen Zustand des Friedens in uns selber schaffen. Wenn wir mehr und mehr diese Mitte, diesen Frieden in uns nähren, dann können wir uns als Mensch auf die Reise zu unserem wahren Selbst begeben, auf die Reise zu unserem spirituellen Selbst. Dabei hilft uns wieder das uralte, universelle, schamanische Wissen. Dieses Wissen und diese Kräfte nutzen wir, um transpersonale Erfahrungen zu machen. Ein wichtiger Teil im Survival-Training ist dieser physische Aspekt des Feuermachens, wo die Studenten lernen, mit Holzreibung Feuer zu machen, auf alte Weise, auf jahrtausendalte Weise. Und da geht es aber nicht nur darum, dass man physisch Feuer macht, sondern es geht auch darum, was für ein Zunder es braucht, nicht nur physisch jetzt, sondern auch in uns selber, dass das Feuer in uns selber entfacht wird und richtig zu lodern anfängt.
Schwitzhütte ist ein sehr altes und sehr kraftvolles Ritual, um sich mit der Natur zu verbinden, um zu beten, um Danke zu sagen, um die Erde zu spüren, die eigene Natur zu spüren, um Altes loszulassen, um Neues zu beginnen, um einen wichtigen Schritt im Leben zu vollbringen. Diese Zeremonie feiern wir auch mit den Studenten.
is Clara. I come from Spain. I was born in Madrid, in the outskirts of Madrid. When I was 17, I start questioning a lot the system in where we are living, and I became a political activist in the university. I was studying economics and journalism. I wanted to understand the world and our economic system, and I wanted to change it somehow. And I wanted to be able to communicate how this change was possible. No? And then my last year of university, I was granted to go to Western Sahara, to the refugee camps in Algeria. And there I was working with the disappeared family of disappeared people. In Innsbruck, I got to know myself. I got to know why I wanted to really study peace. I understood that although my original interest was to understand the conflict between Western Sahara and Morocco, actually there was much more beyond that related to my story, my personal needs. I became aware that my initial interest to go to other countries to save the world was coming from a personal need and also archetypal images of heroes. So I was perceiving myself as a hero. And then in Innsbruck I realized I didn't want to be this hero, and I wanted to take care of myself and work for peace in other levels of consciousness. I have experienced peace in many different ways. The most meaningful way for me is this experience I have after, for example, a sweat lodge ceremony, or by being in the nature. And in these moments, I feel a lot of calm inside me. I feel beauty and love. And I feel clear. I see with clarity. This is possibly the strongest feeling of peace that I could think about now. There are many others which involve like peace in a group. I have experience living in community, and in this context for me peace again has many different ways of perceiving it, but for me the strongest one would be that there is transparency in the group, that everything that comes up has a space for working with it, for observing it, for dealing with it. I get to know these social movements and these alternative ways of living in Spain, and now I'm going beyond Spain, I'm seeing it in other places, in Europe especially. And for me, these are the changes that can make a difference. That especially as a European, I realize I can support others in other countries, but actually, in other continents, actually, it is so important that we as as Europeans change our ways of living and our worldviews and adapt to a more holistic way of understanding ourselves and the world and society. So, and I am happy that I'm seeing I'm seeing people moving towards this direction, and I'm happy that I can share this with other people. So my vision for the future is to share the knowledge that I learned in the program and all the wisdom that I have been learning in the last 4 years. I would like to live in a community in Spain and to create a center for peace studies and conflict transformation, a place where people can come and learn how to live sustainable, how to have low impact living, how to connect with their inner world and the outside world, how to be in a harmony with nature. So basically it's to create a school or a project where people can connect to themselves and to others and experience unique moments of healing and development, hopefully in a community setting. I would like to say to all the people that are watching this documentary and to the world, life is beautiful. And nature is beautiful, and we can choose how we live our lives. Let's enjoy this love, let's perceive this beauty. And in order to do it, we need to see our shadows and conflicts, and it's beautiful. Thanks to all the conflicts that we experience, we can evolve and make decisions and take responsibility of what we want and what we don't want. So I would say, take responsibility for what you want. And if you don't want war, do something about it.
Also mein Name ist Adham. Ich habe 2011, 2012 in Innsbruck studiert. Und Innsbruck ist auch die Stadt, in der ich die ersten 19 Jahre meines Lebens verbracht habe. Ich bin dort als Sohn von einer österreichischen Mutter und einem ägyptischen Vater geboren worden und bin dadurch immer in diesem Spannungsfeld von Kultur aufgewachsen. Meine Eltern sind geschieden. Und das hat für mich bedeutet, dass ich seit meinem 5. Lebensjahr sehr, sehr viel gereist bin. Davor nach England, wo mein Vater viel gelebt hat, und dann vor allem im Nahen Osten, vor allem nach Ägypten, wo ich das Privileg hatte, die ägyptische Kultur sehr, sehr stark mitzuerleben. Und die hat mich mein Leben hindurch eigentlich sehr stark geprägt und begleitet. Das Thema Zuhause hat mich meine ganze Kindheit und Jugend hindurch sehr, sehr stark begleitet. Da war ganz oft die Frage da, wo fühlst du dich mehr zu Hause, in Österreich oder in Ägypten? Wo ist deine Identität? Wo ist es schöner für dich? Und ich habe diese Frage eben als Kind oder Jugendlicher später immer ganz stark als entweder oder wahrgenommen. Also als eine Entscheidung zwischen zwei Ländern. Und diese Entscheidung war für mich immer sehr, sehr gewaltvoll, weil ich sie so endgültig nie treffen konnte, weil ja beide Seiten, wenn man so will, ein ganz integraler Bestandteil von mir und von meiner Identität sind. Und das war später sicher ein ganz zentraler Grund für mich, in die Peace and Conflict Studies zu gehen. Mich hat die Innsbrucker Schule sehr, sehr stark geprägt. Einerseits habe ich mich definitiv in meinem akademischen Arbeiten sehr weiterentwickelt und andererseits, oder vielleicht ist das ein Hauptgrund für meine akademische Weiterentwicklung, habe ich in Innsbruck einen Rahmen gefunden, wo ich mich sehr, sehr stark mit meinen Schattenseiten auseinandersetzen konnte und mit den Aspekten des Selbst, die man vielleicht oft nicht so gern betrachtet. Und dafür habe ich in Innsbruck einen unglaublich sicheren Raum vorgefunden und eine unglaublich unterstützende Atmosphäre, ein unglaublich unterstützendes Umfeld. Ich habe in Innsbruck unglaublich tolle Menschen aus ganz vielen unterschiedlichen Kulturen mit ganz vielen unterschiedlichen akademischen Hintergründen kennengelernt. Und daraus hat sich ein Netz an Freundschaften gebildet, das über Innsbruck hinaus bestehen geblieben ist. Und wir haben nicht umsonst in Innsbruck den Ausdruck Peace Family, also Friedensfamilie, geprägt. Und das ist wirklich zutreffend. In Innsbruck sind wir zu einer Familie geworden, im sozialen Sinne des Wortes und im allerbesten Sinne des Wortes. In meinem akademischen Arbeiten hat mich Innsbruck sehr stark geprägt. Das ist einfach dadurch bedingt, dass in Innsbruck sehr, sehr starker Wert auf Gruppenprozesse und auf kollaboratives Lernen gelegt wird und dass da immer eine unglaubliche Unterstützung da ist und auf die eigene Arbeit so intensives Feedback von Kolleginnen aus allen möglichen Kulturen zu bekommen. Nach meiner Zeit in Innsbruck habe ich mich dazu entschlossen, nach Kairo zu gehen und habe die vergangenen 1,5 Jahre dann auch in Kairo gelebt und die politischen Umbrüche haben auf mich einen sehr, sehr prägenden Eindruck hinterlassen. Was mich sehr, sehr bewegt hat, ist diese unglaubliche Polarisierung, die sich im Moment durch die ägyptische Gesellschaft zieht. Und diese Polarisierung hat sich im ägyptischen Kontext sehr, sehr stark aus dem Diskurs der Moslembruderschaft, aber auch des Diskurses des ägyptischen Militärregimes ergeben. Und dieser Diskurs ist ein Us versus Them-Diskurs, ein Wir gegen die anderen. Und in diesem vermeintlichen Dualismus ist sehr, sehr wenig Raum für dritte Positionen. Also wenn man sich die zentralen Anliegen der ägyptischen Revolution anschaut, dann kann man das, glaube ich, ganz gut runterbrechen auf Brot, Freiheit und soziale Gerechtigkeit. Das ist sehr, sehr vereinfacht gesagt, aber das waren drei sehr zentrale Slogans der ägyptischen Revolution und es bleiben zentrale Slogans. Warum bleiben sie zentrale Slogans? Weil keine dieser Forderungen in einer zufriedenstellenden Art und Weise vom ägyptischen Regime oder von keinem der ägyptischen Übergangsregimes erfüllt wurde. Und das trifft sowohl für die ägyptische Moslembruderschaft als auch für das ägyptische Militärregime zu. Im Gegenteil ist es so, dass die Ungleichheitsschere in Ägypten in den vergangenen 3,5 Jahren weiter auseinandergedriftet ist. Wenn man sich den gesellschaftlichen Status quo anschaut, dann ist es so, dass es eine unglaubliche Zweiklassengesellschaft gibt. Das heißt, es gibt natürlich diese oberen 1, 2, 3%, die wirklich ein sehr, sehr gutes Leben führen. Und dann gibt es halt den großen Rest. Und soziale Mobilität wird in Ägypten immer schwerer. Es ist, glaube ich, eine der ganz großen Herausforderungen an die Friedens- und Konfliktforschung und angewandte Friedensarbeit des 21. Jahrhunderts, Räume zu eröffnen, wo sich derart vermeintlich unterschiedliche Diskurse treffen können und wo sich die konfligierenden Akteure ein Stück weit gegenseitig zuhören können. Frieden und Konflikt sind dann auch nicht dualistische Gegensätze, sondern wo Frieden erfahrbar ist, gibt es Konflikt, und wo es Konflikte gibt, ist immer auch das Potenzial da, Frieden zu erkennen.
I remember I went to school, they taught me how to pronounce A, B, C, D. They told me how to write A, B, C, D, how to speak English, how to speak different languages, mathematics, a lot of stuff. It was so good. But if you ask me my heart, what is inside me, what is popping up right now, that there is a lot inside us, you know, more powerful than A, B, C, D, you know. There is a lot of stuff inside us. We should close our eyes, we should listen that, we should believe that, we should execute that, and we should trust that. That is the very, very precise knowledge, information, and any sort of thing we can do in this world, you know. The day we start listening our heart, our inner voice, our intuition, we will have all this completion of A, B, C, D, which we learn in the start of our school.
And for those people who are experiencing a war situation or a very strong violence, structural violence, direct violence, I would give them my support and my courage and my admiration for their survival and their power and their strength to look for these non-violent ways of dealing with these conflicts, no? If we humans start being responsible for our lives and for our communities, local, regional, and global community, I guess there could be changes.
If I have to just go back inside me and make a portrait of all the experiences on the wall of my head, like sitting here, reading, writing, dipping my feet in the coldest river, standing on the top of the mountain in minus 10 degree, walking whole night with the backpack, jumping from 6th floor with the ropes, closing my eyes, trying to breathe a lot, trying to listen inside me, try to focus how to develop my intuition, how to learn a patience, to take one piece of wood and move for hours and hours and see how first spark come up and how to light a fire, you know. It's not only you open a book, you see what is peace, what is conflict, what is inside. But But it's a whole journey, it's a whole process, it's a whole travel from the top of the book, from the floor of your inside heart, your veins, your body. I don't think so it exists anywhere else like this. From academic to practical world, from experiencing of crazy, crazy beautiful things.
When nightmares of our violent past,
sharp knives of discord, threaten to sever our bonds of unity.
When wars and strife
greet from the left and the right,
do not cave in, brother.
Hold fast to the things that keep hope alive.
Let peace be.
Let it be.
Surely it must be no complex puzzle
to pursue peace.
From day one, nature bestowed it upon us.
As imprinted in our DNA, make no mistake about this.
Fairness is the key.
We can only have peace when we let it be.
Let peace be.
Let it be.
Låt fred vara.
Que se haga la paz.
Ya kan keamanan.
Kai kuerenu na udo.
Let peace be.
Thank you.